Thirsty Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here on Game Plus Network. Also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Mean Streets also available on iTunes and Spotify. If you're hanging out with me live, do me a solid, smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, leave them there. Always try to address them on the show. But if you are watching on Game Plus or you're listening on iTunes and you want to hop on over and you have a question, I think the best way is to find this video on our FTN Network YouTube page. Send a message in the comment section, always circling back on these videos, address it on another show, reach out to you in the comment section. You can reach out on Twitter at Chris Meany, or if you're sick of Twitter, there's a new Twitter. Everybody is talking about Threads. I did make an account just to be cool, I suppose. Going to hang out there, see what it's all about. Maybe take over Threads. Meanswell 11 is the handle there if you want to hang out, but you can always reach out at Chris Meany, slide in the DMs, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. We are away. Joshua Frick in the house. Welcome. It's been a minute. I think you are entering the show because we're going to talk a little UFC today. I know it's pretty rare. We haven't done this in quite some time. A shout out to Duke Loves Wrestling, my guy who we've had on before. Got to get Duke on again. But he did hook me up with a pro wrestler, Bobby Fish. And I'm excited to bring in Bobby. I talked to Eric Young this morning on Dangle Bed Sally. He said he's had a couple encounters with Bobby. Bobby knocked him out, so I got to ask him about that. But we will talk UFC 290, which is happening in Las Vegas, of course, on Saturday at T-Mobile Arena. We got the main event, Volkanovski. It's Volky. Volk is what I've heard. Quan says, go with Volk. Listen, you guys know I'm not a big UFC guy, but I do know that this is the main event, and I know that Volkanovski is a big boy. And I know that Yair Rodriguez is pretty scrappy. That I know. Some wild leg kicks. I watched some footage. I feel like I'm a little bit prepared here for this show. I think he's a tricky fighter. I think he does a little bit of everything. But we'll let Bobby talk about those two guys and who he likes. And we'll preview, of course, what is the main event. And Volk being, he's looking to defend his title here. He's the champ. So we'll talk about that. Also, the co-main event, we got Moreno and Pantoja. And this will be the third time these two guys have fought. Pantoja has gotten the better of them in the first two. So maybe a three-peat. We'll talk about that in a little bit with Bobby. So that's really all I know about the UFC. I'm not here to fool you guys, but we do have the expert, Bobby Fish, joining us in just a little bit. But I do agree with this comment, Joshua, and it's something that we've talked a lot about on this show, haven't we, Quan? Especially with Randall. After seeing Brendan Miller, I'm more confident, Scoot should have gone second, and Michael Jordan is the worst owner in sports at evaluating talent. Not going to argue that. I've been Scoot number two for quite some time and did not get that right, but that was my mock. I thought Scoot should have been number two overall. It's just one game between the two, or seeing Miller, excuse me. But I do agree with you, Joshua. No NBA talk here today. Actually, maybe a little bit towards the end of the show if we have some time. We didn't go over some of the NBA free agent signings yesterday. The Mavericks were up to a couple things yesterday as well. So, you know, bringing in some defensive players. Maybe we talk some NBA towards the end of the show, but it will be a lot of UFC here, UFC 290 with Bobby in just a little bit. I want to go over, this will probably be the last time we talk hockey as well, unless something drastic happens towards the end of the show. We did it on Dangle Bed Selly, my fantasy hockey rankings, way too early. Top 15 overall, top 12 among goalies, and top 15 among defensemen. Updated Stanley Cup odds as well that we can get to a little bit later on in the show. After all the dust has really settled here in the NHL over the past week or so, free agency, still a couple big names out there like Vladimir Tarasenko, Patrick Kane, and things like that. So we'll get into a little bit of NHL talk towards the end of the show, but a bit of a deeper conversation with Eric Young over at Dangle Bed Selly on Game Plus Network today as well, just going over some of the free agent signings, winners and losers, and again, those updated Stanley Cup odds. I think the Boston Bruins are a team that didn't have a great offseason here, but it's only July 6th, so it's not... still some time for them to maybe talk Bergeron and Krejci into coming back one more season, and then they'll be on their way. We'll take a look at the NFL deep passing touchdown leaders from 2022. We'll give a little bit of love to Geno Smith, but that's courtesy of FTN Fantasy and the data that we have behind some of the tools. And I wanted to give you guys a sneak peek. It's going to be a goal of mine to every other episode to show you some of the advanced stats that we do have and how it can translate into this season and into fantasy football. The Home Run Derby bracket announced yesterday as well, so we will go over a little bit of that. And we do have some MLB picks and some props, and we do want to give a little bit of love to the MLB team. How about Dream? This guy is an absolute baller. Actually, as a team, myself, MLB Dream, and Adam Rosenberg. Hey, Rosenberg on the Twitter machine. Not sure what the Threads handle is, but 25-1-1 yesterday as a team. We went 8-0 yesterday. Myself, we had the Padres over 4.5 runs. We had Manny Machado over 1.5 total bases and Fernando Tatis Jr. over 1.5 total bases. We did clean up there. We got a little lucky. Sometimes luck has to be on your side. We got a bases loaded walk from the Halos, and it cashed the ticket. The fifth run came around for the Padres, but we did have Manny Machado, who went yard again yesterday. And we said that he is in the right form, and he is heating up. But Dream is up to 69 units. He's operating at like a 60% clip. He's up at 45 units props. He's 147-79 in terms of props. MLB, man, this guy is absolutely cooking. He has been fantastic this season. Still got the free trial over at ftmbets.com/free. Sign up for free for 3 days. See what we're all about. See our picks across all sports, UFC included as well. With the package, you get all the picks across all sports from everybody. You got tools, projections. It's all there included in the free trial. And if you like what you see, you can hang out with us. If you missed the promo for July 4th, that's okay. You can use promo code Meanie, save yourself a little bit of cash. But of course, we will be giving picks across all sports. And before you know it, the NFL will be here. So I wanted to give some a shout out to Dream and Rosenberg as the entire FTN bet squad racking up some units. Bobby's here now. So I see him in the green room. We're going to throw to a commercial break, and we were going to talk some MLB picks and some Home Run Derby in block number two. We'll save that. There's a bunch of action this afternoon around the diamond, and I wanted to give some picks for the late slate for the Game Plus Network viewers. So if you're looking for action right now around the diamond, check out Dream, MLB Dream, ftmbets.com. Sign up for free right now if you have the chance. Frick is in here talking some UFC. If you have any questions, now is the time to get them in. We got the expert here around the corner. So we'll throw it a break. A lot to get to here. Bobby Fish is in here next in about 2 minutes. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page here presented by So Rare, as we bring in Bobby Fish at the Bobby Fish on the Twitter machine. And I got to give a shout out to our guy, Duke Loves Wrestling, for hooking me up with you, Bobby. Appreciate you taking the time here, man. Welcome into the Mean Streets on Game Plus Network.
Thank you very much, sir. It is a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to meet you. And yeah, Duke was kind of the neutral party here that got us together. And he's a good guy, really good guy. Great dude.
That's an understatement. He is a fantastic dude. Yeah, he came on the show a couple months ago. I forget what card we broke down, but he was great. He brought the energy. He was talking about, like, well, you know, his meals that he was going to eat, you know, the pops and the beverages that he was going to drink for the night, and how he was going to go about his evening. And I thought he came in with some really good analysis. And yeah, he's a fantastic follow and a great listen as well. Yes, Bobby, sir. I know you're very familiar with Eric Young. I do a show with EY on this network, Game Plus Network, sir. And Dango Batselli. And he told me he's had a few encounters with you. And he said, you knocked him out one time.
I can neither confirm or deny that, sir, but I know the answer.
You know the answer. Okay, let's get into it. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know a ton about the UFC, so I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts and walking through some matchups. We do have a couple people hanging out with us, and maybe they have some questions for you that we can get to in a little bit. So UFC 290 in Las Vegas happening on Saturday, of course. We have some odds, and we got like spreads and totals, but we can just preview the fight and what you expect. And we'll lead things off here with Yair Rodriguez in the main event up against Alexander Volkanovski. 25-2, you see there, and Yair at 16-3. You know, again, I'll throw to you, but watching film and seeing some of the fights, you know, Volk is the champ looking to retain the title. I think Yair is, when I watch the film and I watch him fight, I think he's a tricky fighter. I think he does a little bit of everything. I've seen some like back elbows. I've seen a lot of success with some kicks. I think he's got a dangerous technique, but we'll throw to you here. What do you make of this matchup? What do you expect? How do you think it's going to go down?
I think that's precisely what jumps off the page at you with Yair Rodriguez. He, on the come up, has been, he had a little stumble when they were really starting to get behind him. And since then, he's recovered. And he's recovered in such a dynamic way that, like, I think people are actually turning around on it and going, you know what, he does have the goods. He's certainly just dynamic, you know, and unpredictable is one of those things that comes from his athleticism, and he trusts his athleticism. So like the guy fights, you know, fearless. And that's where you see the spinning back elbows and the kind of wild techniques. Yeah. I mean, what you see is what you get with him in that he's going to be dynamic in the whole way through. And then you got Volkanovski, who's just, I mean, the guy is just rock solid. And rock solid sounds very neutral. It's not enough. I mean, there's an argument that could be made for him being the best fighter in the world right now. But he's just so damn consistent. He's so consistent that like I think his consistency gets underappreciated. He's so consistent. Like it's like taxes. You know they're going to be there. He's that good. And every time out, he has shown through the fire, really. I mean, the fights with Holloway were kind of, I don't know if I'd say his arrival, but I think like when people really started to put him in that conversation for potentially the best in the world.
I was going to ask you that, and you just brought it up. I mean, you think at this moment you can make a case for him being the best fighter in the world. You know, we just brought up the board with some of the odds, and now some people on the show like to sprinkle a little bit of their hard-earned bucks on a winner. I mean, Volk is a significant favorite here at -380. I mean, you really, yeah. I don't know if people are going to be putting down their hard-earned bucks on that, but. How deep do you think this fight could go? Do you think it could go over 4.5 rounds? Like, could this go 4 or 5 rounds deep? Do you think Yair going to hang around?
I think it definitely could. I think it could definitely go deep. It depends on which Yair shows up. I mean, I think Volk, you can count on him being there. He's going to be. He's proven every time that the man he does not show up unprepared. Yair's a little bit more of a wild card in that way. However, Yair, his last few outings have just been, you know, the dynamic Yair has shown up and the wild techniques have been there and the athleticism, you know, like I said before, that it just jumps off the page. So like with him in a fight, if he's there and he's feeling it that night, anything is possible with him. Like he could beat anyone.
Joshua Frick chimes in here and says he's got a UFC same game parlay. What do you think about this? Volk to win over 8.5 minutes. Volk most takedowns, most significant strikes to get him to +105. What do you think about the time? And maybe the most takedowns and significant strikes. Are you on board here with Joshua? He's calling it free money, which is dangerous. It's never free money.
Yeah, I don't. If you know where to find that free money, I can give you my email. yeah. So here's how I see it. I Volk likes to stand, but he can definitely wrestle. But he likes to stand. Now, if Yair shows up and is starting to catch his timing, he's capable of some wild ass shit, and it may be a safer play for Volk to take him down. However, that's, you know, that's if it goes that way. And we just don't know until we see them. Like, you know, Volk in the fight where he went up against Makhachev, right? I think it was Makhachev. But he, you know, he wasn't the higher weight class. It just seemed to not affect the man, you know, and I think sometimes the weight classes can be oversold. But he just, the guy shows up to fight. I can't imagine this is going to be any different. Now with the parlays and stuff and to go with the most takedowns, it really depends on what kind of fight we're getting. I think there's, if Volk's going to take it, I think there's a good chance of it going the distance.
Yeah, I think if you want to get involved with this fight, like Troy says, I mean, the near minus 400, you know, I love Volk, he should win this fight, but there's no chance they're going to bet him at that line. So I think that's why some people are maybe looking to get creative and with some same game parlays and things like that. But it should be a really good fight. Troy also chimes in and says, very opportunistic finisher. Yair, that is, it's one thing that scares him with the total. Anything else on the fight? You want to do a prediction? How many rounds? So what do you think? A little prediction before we move on to the co-main.
Jeez, I'm on the spot here.
Yes, I love it. Got to put you on the spot.
Volk is just such a picture of consistency that I can't pick against him, but I'm going to pick against him. And I just, Yair is, he's just fighting in a way right now that, like, I don't know. I think he's super confident, and I think a super confident Yair is a dangerous guy. I'm picking the upset.
Okay, nice. He's going with the upset. I love it. Coming in hot, Bobby. Nobody wants to hear Volk is going to just win and this and that. Quan's giving us some notes here in the chat as well. Five of Volk's last six fights went the distance. The one that didn't was a stoppage with the Korean Zombie. Says Volk to win by decision plus 140 on DK, but we don't want to hear that. We're going with the upset. Quan, what was the odds for the upset for Yair? A little bit of plus plus 290? Yeah, giddy up over at DraftKings there for Yair to pull off the upset. Again, when I watched, I mean, you just said Volk, like, he does seem just, I mean, everything you said, consistency, he's the man, right? But Yair, he's like you said, he's a little bit of a wild card. When I watch some of the things, like, I feel like he has a lot of success with kicks, and this is a dangerous technique that, you know, maybe could catch Volk off guard. Let's go to the co-main here. And we have this is the third matchup between these two guys and Brandon Moreno, 21-6-2, and Alexander Pantoja is looking for a three-peat here.
Yeah.
Moreno is the favorite at minus 200. We have the point spread at minus 5.5 for Moreno, again, from DraftKings, the total rounds there at 3.5. When you preview this fight, what are you looking for? What do you think?
Well, I think you're looking at from Tough, from The Ultimate Fighter, those losses obviously are weighing heavy on this. And then you look at it and you think, like, okay, so does Pantoja just have this guy's number? And that happens with fighters, you know. There's some people that just happen to have someone's number, and you know, the odds, if they were to fight five times or whatever, it's, you know, the odds are just stacked in their favor. Is that the case here? That's kind of the question. To me, Brandon Moreno is a completely different fighter from who he was then. And, you know, Pantoja's people will say the same thing about him, which I'm sure he, you know, it's pretty close to accurate. Like, they see him every day. He's obviously an improved fighter. It's hard to pick against Moreno to me, because outside of the potential of Pantoja just having the man's number, Moreno is consistent and has such big fight experience at this point, having had the, what would you call it, quadrilogy with Figueiredo, and in those four fights he won two They drew on one and he lost one. So he handled every single outcome. I don't know. I don't think you can, you know, kind of fart on that sort of big game experience. Like, something is to be said for that experience alone.
Is it safe to say that, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Pantoja could come off, like, could start this, like, really aggressive. Like, it could be over potentially for Marino early. Like, if the first few rounds are maybe, like, Pantoja's rolling and he's off to a good start. But the longer the fight goes on, the more, like, beneficial it is for Marino. Do you feel like that could be the case? Like, this longer that this fight goes on, Marino could get the better of him if it goes deeper?
I think that's pretty spot on. I think that's pretty spot on. I think Pantoja is going to come out and go hard in the paint early. Moreno, if he does not get him out of there early on, I think Moreno does start to build momentum as the fight goes longer, for sure. And then that's where, like I said, that big fight experience comes in. He had ups and downs in those fights with Figueiredo. And Figueiredo, you know, depending on which number in the series it was favored to win and et cetera, et cetera. But Moreno just... I mean, he's a consistent guy that shows up each time. And with that experience, I don't know how you bet against that experience. I mean, that's gameplay, you know, that's not practice. That's game, big game, Super Bowl level game.
Yeah, Troy, I think Troy, you're a fan of Pantoja. I think he's just like clogging up the chat, which we love on this show, by all means. Leave the messages. He says Pantoja is a savage, talks about where he trains, you know, at one of the best gyms, and also says that he has a 2-unit bet on Pantoja. He's one of the most clinically disrespected fighters in the UFC. He has such a well-rounded skill set. Would you agree with that take?
Pantoja checks all the friggin' boxes. I mean, that guy does everything well. If you watch the way that he kind of follows in the grappling situations, you know, you'll see people kind of Gramby roll or whatever. And he's just got like an effortless kind of following in the transitions where you're just like, I mean, he's the proverbial wet blanket, it seems like sometimes. And I will say this because this gentleman was a fan of Pantoja. I didn't appreciate Pantoja confronting Moreno after his last fight win. I thought that was pretty low rent. And it's one thing to be disrespectful and whatever, but hey, man, let's face it. That's his moment, and you made it about you somehow. And I get that you beat him twice, but this is not you. It's bad timing. Bad timing. I thought it was pretty classless. And I don't know Pantoja, so obviously I don't have anything against the guy. I don't want to call him classless, but I just didn't like the move. I didn't care for the move. I thought you could have waited. But he has beat him twice, so I think it's hard for somebody with 2 wins against a champion and watching that champion do his thing. If you're a competitor, I can appreciate that part of it where he's like, I beat him twice. I'll beat him again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you're right. It's title. That's right. It's across all sports. Sometimes you talked about it. Sometimes somebody just has their number. Right. I think about it in all sports, in the NBA and the NHL, this team can't beat that team, but that team can beat that team. No problem. I think about the NFL a couple of years ago, and I'm going off track here, but inside the NFC West, I remember like the Rams couldn't beat the Cardinals, but the Cardinals couldn't beat the Niners, and the Rams always beat the Niners. Yeah. Like, it's just like weird, right? Sometimes, you know, it's a psyche thing, of course, with these two guys. Prediction, same sort of deal. I think you're kind of leaning like Moreno may get the win here. What do you think? Prediction, and how many rounds do you think this will go?
I'm going with Moreno, because I think he's going to weather the early storm. And I don't know. I want to, after the Pantoja move of making it about him, like I'll let my heart in here a little bit. And, I just want to see Moreno show him that, like, yeah, man, you can't do that. Like, it's one thing. It's a fight game. I get it. But, you know, we're all adults here too. Like, I'm somebody's father. Like, don't, you know.
So we're looking for Moreno, the champ, to retain. We'll get you out of here on this. Is there any other card? Is there any other match, a fighter that you'd like to maybe talk about, another upset you think? Just anything that you want to share with the viewers.
Who was it? There was Jack Della Maddalena, and they were having trouble finding him another fight because, I don't remember what happened with his opponent, but they were trying to find him another fight. And, the last few fights that he's had, again, dynamic and just consistent across the board, checks all the boxes. He's an Aussie. And, so I think he's going to have an exciting outing.
Looking up against Harrell. That one.
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Harrell's a massive underdog at plus 600.
Yeah. Yeah. I would expect.
Tough go.
Yeah. Tough night in the
office. Tough draw. Bobby, this is great, man. Hopefully we could do this again sometime. Do you want to take the opportunity to tell people like where they can check you out? I know there's probably a lot of fans listening and watching and seeing you here on Game Plus Network. They want more of you. Where can they see you?
Well, the Bobby Fish on Twitter and Instagram. I have the Undisputed podcast with Bobby Fish. That is on the Premier streaming network. We drop a new episode every Wednesday. BobbyFishApparel.com for all your good school clothes needs and other various nonsense. And then I'm going to pop up. Who knows where? Because for the first time in a long time, I've been working independently and not under contract with a major company. So I am kind of popping up all over the place. I popped up in Dubai in November on the Floyd Mayweather undercard. So who friggin' knows?
a bad little journey for you.
If you're interested in booking me, please email frankferraro3@yahoo.com. That's frankferraro3@yahoo.com, and he will get you sorted out.
Nice. We'll put that link inside the email inside the description of this video for people to check out as well. Hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page. So are you like Duke? Are you going to have like, is there a go-to? Like, what's the deal? Duke's like, oh, you know, I'm going to have some wings. He talks about the recipe he's going to have. He's going to have some Sam Adams. The Boston boy is going to have a couple of brewskis. What's the Bobby plan? What, you got any food on the go that you're gonna watch?
I'm pretty sure I'm probably a one of one, but I like to ride my spin bike and watch the fights. So I will jump on my spin bike, and you know, if you think about it, like that's 3.5 hours of just pedaling your calories away.
And that's why you do what you do. That's why you do what you do and why you do it so well.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate your time, Bobby. Thanks so much again. Bobby Fish on Twitter, on the Twitter machine. Thank you so much. Enjoy the fights. And hopefully, again, we can do this again sometime very soon. Another shout out there to Duke Loves Wrestling for hooking us up. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. We'll say goodbye to Bobby for now. Appreciate everybody jumping in and talking some UFC. It's something we're going to continue to do here on Mean Street. So get used to it. We're going to turn the page, talk a little MLB. We're going to scan the diamond for a couple picks. Keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Bobby was great. That was awesome. I know very little about the UFC, but it's nice to talk to people who do follow it as close as Bobby. So hopefully a couple winners there for you guys, and we'll link up with Bobby again in the future. Okay, so MLB. I mentioned off the top of the show, it was a really good day for the FTN bet squad yesterday. I think between myself, Dream, and Rosenberg, we were 25-1-1, 8-0 on this show. So you know what that means. Proceed with caution. It's tough to put together two massive days like that, but we're going to try. I do have a team total here. Going to keep it simple. I wanted to talk about some games that were happening a little bit later on for the Game Plus Network crew. We've got some bets in our tracker right now for the early afternoon action around the diamond, but I wanted to talk a little bit. Manny Machado home run. John, you missed it yesterday. We had that on this show. We had the Padres over 4.5. We had Manny Machado over 1.5 total base. We talked about the home run prop at plus 540, but he and Fernando Tatis Jr. cashed in for us. So I'm doing something very similar, but I'm going from the Padres to the Tampa Bay Rays. Yes, the Padres, it did work out for us. We got a little lucky on our side. You know, sometimes you have to have a little bit of luck on your side. So today I'm going with the Rays team total over 4.5 runs at minus 120. They're at home against the Phillies here today, and they're going to go up against Christopher Sanchez. Christopher without an H. Interesting. He's been pretty solid in his few starts this season, but he's going to get a true test here. I mean, he's got a matchup this year. He's played Oakland. He's played Washington. In fact, his last outing against the Nationals, he allowed 7 hits, and I thought he got a little lucky getting out of that inning. Now, he's going to have a true test today against the Rays. The Rays check in with the third highest team WOBA, WRC+, they're 6 in homers. This is against left-handed pitching this season. They are a platoon squad, right? They hit righties well, they hit lefties well, but they've been really good against southpaw pitching this season. As for Sanchez, get to know him a little bit. He does have some swing and miss in his game. He's got roughly 20 strikeouts, I think, in his 19 and a third innings this season. He hasn't walked a lot of guys this year, but he has struggled with walks. I mean, 49.2 innings in AAA ball this season. Bats. He issued 29 free passes in those 42 innings. And in what was kind of a small sample size with the Phillies, 40 innings last season, he allowed 38 hits in those 40 innings, 25 runs, and 17 walks. The thing is, you know, nobody's really walking in AAA. I said this a few times. Like, the only people that walk in AAA, they're walking to the bus. You know, giving them free passes. Everyone's free swingers, basically, in the minors. So when you're walking those kind of guys, like 4 batters per 9, nearly 5 batters per 9, it's a red flag for me. So this Rays team, they're patient. They take their pitches. They can hit lefties. And they got what is a pretty good lineup, especially 1 through 5 here that I think that they will roll out. So I like the over 4.5 runs. I'm looking at Randy Arozarena over 1.5 total bases at plus 120. He's also plus 520 to go yard today. I think he's very interesting, in my opinion. And I like Wander Franco as well, is another guy that's hit lefties pretty solid this season. In fact, when you look at these guys, Randy and Franco, we'll start with Randy. Randy has a team high 5 homers against lefties so far this season. Franco's got the team high 7 total bases, extra bases. He's hitting .313. And then there's Yandy as well. Diaz atop the order. Now, he doesn't have a lot of power. He could score a run or two today. I think his run prop is minus 110 to score a run. I'm seeing in our prop shop free parlay calculator and prop shop over at ftmbets.com. But he's got 6 extra base hits against southpaws, and he's hitting .333. So there's a lot of guys. Of course, a lot of is not out yet, but I do believe those three guys will be in the lineup today. Yandy leading off, Franco, and Arozarena. So that is the way that I'm going. I see Hammerhead Union is diving into some picks here for us as well. I do like the Ramirez call. Cleveland, a pretty good spot here today against Kansas City, right? We're going to see Jordan Lyles on the bump, I think, for the Royals. And, you know, last year was an outlier campaign for him. I know he pitches in a pitcher's ballpark, but I think he just picked up his first win in his last start. He's had a rough go, but I mean, a fly ball pitcher gives up a lot of bomb, a lot of power. And Cleveland is minus 225 favorites. I would lean with the over on the run total as well for Cleveland, and they probably win on the run line, you know, at minus 1.5. But yeah, I would say Ramirez is a pretty good call there. Pretty good call as well. I love it. I love the picks. Love the props. Speaking of MLB, we are going a little long. let's break. Let's break quickly. We'll come back. Want to talk Home Run Derby. Hang on, Hammerhead Union. Let's get some Home Run Derby predictions out of you. And we will wrap up with some fantasy hockey talk. We also have a couple NFL things. Still a lot to get to here on Mean Streets. We'll keep the balance of the show. Hang tight. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Home Run Derby. The contestants announced in full yesterday, and the bracket announced as well. This is pretty good. I like this. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, you got Luis Robert, who's having a really good season. Last year, I picked him to have the most home runs in baseball, like 80-1. He's got 25. I mean, he's six behind Otani, who leads the way with 31, but he's having a really good season. And we all knew that the breakout was going to happen eventually and the power was going to happen, but we're definitely seeing it in full swing this year. Alonso, 25 home runs this season as well. Mookie, 23 homers. Garcia's got 22. Otani, not in it. Did not do well last year, and if you remember, Juan Soto won, and he was a heavy underdog because he was up against Otani in that first round, but Soto went on to win. Pete Alonso has won two of the last three. There was no home run derby in 2020, but he did win in 21 and in 2019. He is up against Julio Rodriguez, who had a heck of a show last year as well. 81 total home runs in the Derby last year from Julio. That is just that's a tough draw for both opponents. Pete Alonso is the number two seed. Julio is the number seven. Luis Robert at number one up against Adley Rutschman. I'm looking forward to seeing Rutschman as well. Great, fantastic catcher for the Baltimore Orioles. The eighth seed here. Mookie Betts, as I mentioned, 23 home runs for him up against Vlad Guerrero Jr., who has not hit a lot of home runs this year, finally hitting him at home at the Rogers Center. But don't sleep on Vladdy. He does have a high ground ball rate, but keep in mind he does have the most home runs ever in a single round, 40. And in 2019, that same season, he had a record-setting 91 total home runs. He's up against Mookie Betts. And then Adolis Garcia up against our guy, Randy Rosarino, who's going to go yard today against Christopher without an H, Sanchez. I like Robert here. I really do. I like the first round draw. You know, he got up against a rookie. Maybe there's some nerves there potentially, but in terms of the odds, he's plus 475 over at DraftKings. Pete Alonso is the favorite at plus 320. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at plus 350. Rodriguez is 550. Betts is 950. Garcia is 7-1. Randy Rosarena at plus 950. And then Adley Rutschman is sitting there at 17-1. So, I mean, if you're looking for a long shot, I suppose it would be it. But I really do like I like Luis Robert. I think this guy is a stud. I think he's a baller. He's starting to kind of climb into his power, but I don't want people to sleep on Vlad. Can we bring that up one more time? We'll dive into this Monday because the Derby is on Monday. We'll have some like Derby matchups and things like that. But for me right now, I do like Robert's minus 195, so it's tough to get behind that. But I do like Vlad Guerrero Jr. here, and I'm going to do a little bit of a sprinkle probably on Vlad and probably on Robert. I just can't. Cuban Trout, I know all the comparisons. I said it a bunch. He does remind me of Mike Trout, five-tool guy. Unfortunately, Trout is having some issues right now, but he was just, I mean, let's be honest, Trout is one of the GOATs of all time. But yeah, Pete Alonso and Julio, it's just too tough, right? These guys are up against each other. I don't know. I would lean Julio for the upset, but how can you go against Pete Alonso, who's just been, he's been fantastic in this event over the past 3 years. This should be really fun. I like the contestants. I like the matchups. I would like to see Otani go at it one more time, but I will lean with Robert, which is kind of lame, but he's not the favorite. So I will lean with Robert to win it all. But I'm telling you right now, don't sleep on Vlad, because that guy, clearly, when you look at this season and you see the lack of power and you see the ground ball rate hovering around 50%, things like that, you know, for the month of June, it was really high. This is a guy that has shown us before. He can smack some balls out of the park, and this Derby is happening in Seattle. Does that make you want to go with Julio? Should be fun. We'll address it on Monday if anything does change, but I'm leaning with Robert as of right now. We're going to do another break. Going to take a look at the NFL deep passing touchdown leaders from last year. How can it relate or translate into this season? What are we buying? What are we selling? And then we'll wrap up with a couple fantasy hockey, little way too early rankings for those that potentially missed Dangle Betselli. We'll do that quick time towards the end of Mean Street. So a couple more blocks here. I appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out. Talk a little NFL next here. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. So as I said off the top of the show, I wanted to just kind of show off some of our data, FTN data. It's one of the cool things. There's a lot of cool things about being part of this FTN family, but we do have a lot of just unbelievable statistics, and it's fun to look into them. It's fun to follow them throughout the season, and you know, it can translate into fantasy success, betting success, or if you're just a straight up NFL fan and you just like numbers, I mean, great, because I'm going to continue to show off some of the tools and statistics moving forward. Today, I wanted to show last year's deep passing touchdown leaders via advanced stats over at ftnfantasy.com. This is under deep passing statistics. We have everything from deep pass attempts. Who threw the most deep pass attempts last year? Josh Allen. Josh Allen did. We have completion percentage. We have deep passing adjusted percentage. We have the passing touchdowns, which you see here on this board. And deep passing touchdowns would be touchdowns over 20 yards. A deep pass would be considered a 20-yard pass. Jalen Hurts up at the top with Derek Carr. And of course, you know, Jalen Hurts hooked up with AJ Brown quite often deep down the field. And all I heard was that Jalen Hurts wasn't a great deep passer. Well, lies, because the numbers back it up that he did. And in fact, he had the highest average depth of target, ADOT, average depth of target on deep passes at 31.24, the highest mark in the league. And if you want to look at just overall accuracy, adjusted, let's go. I got the tool up in front of me. Let's go adjusted completion percentage. Jalen Hurts among the leaders as well, number three overall. Some people may be surprised about Geno Smith here, and I'll get into him in a second. Geno Smith at number 10. I'm all over the place. If we can bring that up one more time, I'll roll through and we'll get into Geno. Josh Allen, 9. Aaron Rodgers, 9. Joe Burrow at 8. Tua Tagovailoa at 7. Russell Wilson at 6. Russell Wilson had the most deep passing attempts, but of course things did not work out for him well in Denver like it did in Philadelphia. Oh, sorry, he had the second most attempts behind Josh Allen. Allen had 80 and Russell Wilson had 79, but Russell Wilson in there, Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, I think guys that will leap, maybe we could see a little bit more from them. Herbert, you know, getting Quentin Johnson and Kellen Moore, you know, the way that he runs his offense, a lot of deep passes there in Dallas. And Trevor Lawrence, right? Year two with Doug Peterson. You guys have heard me say this so much. Like, I'm such a big T-Law fan and everything that Jacksonville is building around him and Doug Peterson. I think he's just a heck of a coach. And this will be year two together, and you're adding Calvin Ridley in there as well. So you're adding Ridley, you're adding Quentin Johnson. I do agree, Russ, you know, does look pretty much done at this point, but the offense is going to roll a lot better in Denver with Sean Payton. This is going to be a little bit more creative anyways. Tua on this list, maybe even higher if he was able to stay healthy. Joe Burrow, these guys are going to continue to be on this list that you see. How about Geno Smith? How about Geno Smith at 3 there? How about Geno Smith leading the NFL in completion percentage last year? This is the best quarterback going outside the top 10 in fantasy football, and I just don't understand it. Last year, finishing as quarterback 9 in fantasy points per game. If you want to, you know, take away Kyler, take away a couple other players that didn't have, you know, I think if you just look at quarterbacks that had 13 plus games, Geno finished 7th in fantasy points per game, but overall he was quarterback 5 in fantasy last year. He is going as quarterback 15. It's, as you see there, 16. I think the updated version is 15 over at Underdog, over in high stakes leagues, NFFC quarterback 15 on average. I look at our consensus rankings over at FTN Fantasy, including Jeff Ratcliffe, including Scott Spratt, Adam Pfeiffer, the Pope, Randall. These guys all have them outside the top 12. I got them, as you can see, at 12. I've actually updated my rankings. I have him at 10 in my rankings. I would rather have him than Dak. I would rather have him than Tua. I would rather have him than Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers. I really would. Again, led the NFL in completion percentage. They drafted arguably the best wide receiver in football in the draft in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They got arguably the best corner in Devin Witherspoon. Their defense is improved. It was great last year. This is a team that had a 5.5 win total. They made the playoffs. Geno struggled down the stretch of the season. He played San Fran twice. He played an elite Jets defense. He had some tough matchups. Now, he's going to have some tough matchups again this season, but this is year two now as a starter. You know, Pro Bowl nod. It was unbelievable, right? For a guy that was drafted, what, 13 years ago in the second round by the Jets. This was his first time as a full starter in over 10 years, and he got it done. I expect him to be better. I expect the Seahawks defense to be better. I expect more possessions. He's inside the top 10 in rushing yards, so he's got a nice little sneaky floor to his game, over 300 rushing yards. They got a good 1-2 punch out of the backfield, and Zach Charbonnet, who's, you know, arguably the third best back after Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, adding Walker. I really like where the Seattle team is at. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were better this past year than the last year with Russell Wilson. Those guys didn't miss a beat. They both had over 1,000 yards receiving. It's a really good Seattle squad, and I think that they're going to hang around for the division lead against the San Francisco 49ers. I think like that's going to be one of my bold takes, whether it's that bold or not, that they're going to win the division. Geno is again going to finish as a top 10 quarterback. Tyler Lockett is a guy that always gets slept on. Tyler Lockett, I don't know if I brought this up on All In Football or if I brought it up on this show. I got a ton of notes in front of me, but Tyler Lockett is a guy that just like last year was drafted as wide receiver 33, had more fantasy points per game than DK. DK gets drafted as a top 15 wide receiver. I do believe his ceiling is higher. You have more targets, bigger body inside the red zone, maybe more touchdowns, but Lockett actually had more touchdowns last year. Lockett was really good, and he is the value. Even bringing in JSN, I still think Lockett is going to eat, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going ahead of Tyler Lockett in fantasy drafts. Don't sleep on Lockett. You don't need to make him a target of yours, but I guarantee it, in your drafts, this guy is going to fall down draft boards. Here it is right here, by the way. And 4,200 yards for Geno, 30 touchdowns, 11 picks. That's fantastic. 69.8% completion rate. Giddy up. This guy is he's a decent quarterback, man. Lockett, wide receiver 13 last year, drafted as wide receiver 33, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. DK Metcalf, wide receiver 18 last year, going as wide receiver 15. JSN is going as wide receiver 32. And if you want to go to 2021, DK was wide receiver 12.2 fantasy points per game. Tyler Lockett was wide receiver 13, but 12.8 fantasy points per game. So that's back-to-back years. Lockett, who had 12.2 fantasy points per game this past year, and DK 10.7. Don't sleep on Lockett, but as Jake always says, forget the icing, just get the cake. The cake is Geno Smith. Geno Smith is the best quarterback going outside 10, 11, 12 spots at the quarterback position. I think he's a pretty good target. You can get him in your last round of fantasy drafts. And a good number two in Superflex as well. All right, I went really long there. Quick break. I'll show you my top 15 overall rankings of fantasy hockey. Way too early. That's next year on Mean Streets. One day we'll be like, stop talking about Geno. You're going over shows. Too much Geno love. Stop it. There's no such thing. Connor McDavid, number one overall. Surprise, surprise. Leon Draisaitl, number two overall. These are my way too early fantasy hockey rankings for next season. It's including shots, hits, blocks, points, goals, power play points, all there. Austin Matthews at 4, David Pastrnak 5, Nikita Kucherov 6, Cruel at the Thrill, Dollar Bill Kaprizov at 7, Mikko Rantanen at 8, Jason Robertson at 9, Brady Tkachuk over 200 hits. Don't sleep on him. He was number 5 overall in fantasy hockey, including leagues with hits. Our best two calls last year, guys like Jack Hughes in the 5th round, Tage Thompson in the 9th round. These are first round picks for me this season. Cale Makar at 13, Elias Pettersson a cool 102 points last season, and Alex Ovechkin can still get it done, over 40 goals last year. You know he's going to pass Wayne Gretzky. You just know it's going to happen. That's it. We do have to get out of here. I wanted to show you the top 15 overall. Again, it's way too early. It's July 6th, but if you want more, check out Dango Batselli. Good luck around the diamond. And we have an underdog best ball draft for tomorrow on Mean Streets. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.